Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
They're the reason we are championship next season. They've got the Bairns believing. It's John McGlynn and Paul Smith. See, we're going to have to work on that song a wee bit better. Gentlemen, welcome back to Falkirk Daft.
Thank you.
First of all, got to say a massive congratulations. John McGlynn just announced before we recorded this that you are up for Manager of the Year in Scotland. How does that feel?
Yeah, very honoured, privileged to be voted by my fellow managers. So a great honour. Looking forward to the night on Sunday. As you know, we've got 10 players in the team of the year and three up for nomination as well. So, yeah, looking forward to that as well. It was great for everyone at the football club, isn't it? Everyone involved. You know, Paul, all the backroom staff, all the players, of course, fans, everyone that's played their part in this.
Yeah, and we've noticed that every time that you've won an award, Paul, it's always the team that you get together and the rest, Paul and the rest of the guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all in it together. You know, that's it. And that has to always be the case. You know, we're very much a team, and the players on the pitch, they've got to be a team, you know, that are working for each other. And that's the only way you'll get success, really.
Mm. Out of interest, who did you guys vote for?
I voted for the other managers. So I voted for the other two nominees.
Ah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Paul, did you get a vote as well?
It's only the managers that get a vote.
Oh, is it only the managers that get the vote? That's shocking.
Assistant managers and coaches don't get the vote, so it's only manager to manager.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear that, actually. I mean, John, you guys have been an absolute standout candidates for obvious reasons. And I've got to say, absolutely, congratulations on the League One win for you and the team's achievement. I mean, I hope you know, you guys, and I hope you feel it, how much it means to us supporters. And not only, I don't think, just the supporters, but the community at large. The change walking about Falkirk, you know, you saw it probably in outpouring of emotion on that pitch at Montrose, where it was just, you know, as Falkirk supporters, you know, hugging your friends, your family, you saw people crying. Just, it was a special moment for those, you know, that can remember the scenes at Clyde Bank. It gave that moment to a whole new generation of supporters, and it's all thanks to you guys and the team. I mean, what did it mean to you guys to get it over the line?
Yeah, everything, and that's why we came here. You know, that's you got to go back to, you know, when we first got some telephone calls to make us aware that Falkirk would be interested in us. So yeah, that was a challenge. We had to talk about that and wanted to come here and the enormous size of the football club. And if you got it right, you know, how great it would be, you know, to do that. And so, yeah, that pitch in Montrose that night, with us having the later kickoff, Hamilton having, you know, a traditional 3 o'clock kickoff, and being on the pitch and looking at the fans who, it was quite eerie with regards to everyone on their phones waiting on that result coming through, and when it finally came through, the noise and the relief, and obviously the team going out on the pitch and playing the way they did that night, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome, and the celebrations with everyone on the pitch, it just means so much. I mean, it means the world, and we've mentioned the connection that the players and the fans and the football club have now. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, and we've mentioned the ultras and, you know, the amount of, you know, what was it, 4,600 attendances and 5,000 strips sold. It just goes on and on and on with regards to what an amazing season it's been. And yeah, the connection, as you said, fans on the pitch crying, fans on the pitch kissing you, fans on the pitch saying I love you.
That was
You just know how much it is affecting everyone and the feel-good factor. Yeah, I don't stay in Falkirk, but you know, I know other people who do, and they're telling you, oh, the place is buzzing, Falkirk's buzzing, and that means so much to us. It's affecting so many people.
I was lucky enough, obviously, to play with Falkirk many moons ago, and I think at that time, obviously in the Premier League with Kevin McAllister and Simon Steenrod, it was a fantastic connection with the supporters and the players at that time, and obviously Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown as manager. And as I say, we John and myself obviously watching games at Falkirk over the last before we came in 2 or 3 years before that. You were coming to games and there was a silence about the stadium, and the punters were just waiting for something to happen, a mistake to happen, and get on the players' backs. And as I say, since we've come in, the fans have been absolutely fantastic. And it's just, as I said before, the fans have grown with the team, and a combination of going up to Lincs Park at Montrose on that night, which John said was fantastic, and obviously carried on behind the wall,
Well, that, yeah,
which was a fantastic night.
that was where we were going to go next. Obviously, so Montrose on the park at full time, the scenes, and obviously you mentioned about being in the ground, the town square when the full time whistle went at Hamilton as well was just phenomenal. I think John and I we were still in the town at that point before we walked along to the ground, and it was just phenomenal. But going back to behind the wall, Paul, you just mentioned it, so obviously I remember seeing you both that night celebrating. What did it feel like that night? What was the emotions that you were going through?
Yeah, well, we had a very interesting bus journey down the road as well. That was good. Before we got to behind the wall, yeah, the bus journey was very good, and the boys were in very, very good spirits, and there was some good songs sang, and yeah,
I
some.
hear there's a certain fan of Wagon Wheel in the
Oh,
management team.
we all are. We all are. To be fair, Wagon Wheel's been the song that's got us through. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think that was played in behind the wall as well that night. I think we've had to reinforce the tables ever since we were there. Worried if we go back there. No, that again, that was amazing. It was amazing to see the fans there, the relief and the joy that is brought to them, and the players just letting their hair doing, enjoying the time. And these are special moments, you know, for everyone. But we feel that as well. It's special. You want to be part of that. You've got to savor the moments, because it doesn't come along too often in football. Yeah, there's no always loads of success. You know, there's more knocks than there is success, and so you've really got to savor it. And winning it so early, we had that few games where again you can. And obviously Saturday, coming up to the game on Saturday, you know, full house here, great atmosphere, going for the unbeaten record. You know, it's again going to be a special day. And it'll be great to see so many fans come in to, you know, recognise the achievement and to be part of the day and the celebration. And yeah, it's been a special season. We've won the League One before, and of course it's special whenever you do that. But this one's been, you know, particularly with the way that we've done it, and to go through 35 games unbeaten, you know, it's a one-off.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I guess this league, however, this whole campaign, this whole story of the last year really started at the end of last season. What were your kind of thoughts when you're standing that touchline, and we've just lost the two playoff games against Airdrie? What was racing through you guys' mind at that point?
Well, you've got extreme disappointment, obviously, but you have to be thinking ahead, you know, and that was where I was, you know, because regardless of the result, we were always going to be looking ahead, and like we have been here for, you know, since January, we've been looking ahead since January and tying our players up, and you've got to be looking forward. You have to, you know, so it was lining up players to come in, and that was my statement right after the game, that it was now going to be like phase two. I didn't really count the January window, although we'd done a little bit of ducking and diving. It's never a good window when it's not like we had money. You're you know, it's Yeah, it is exactly that. It's ducking and diving, it's bobbing and weaving, it's changing one or two around about, but you're not going in there. So very few players available. Different in the summer window where you've got you can get your teeth into it. We knew there was players on going out, so there was more scope than the first season when we came in. Where we came in, there was like 14 players in contract, and there was less room for manoeuvrement, but we managed to get in enough to nearly get there. But also they got a really, really good Scottish Cup run, which cannot be forgotten. You know, that brought in a lot, hell of a lot of finance to the football club, possibly saved the football club. And so after the second Airdrie game, it was just a matter of, right, you know, we need to get the next phase of players in. And that's what I said we would do. Fortunately enough, you know, we've been as good as our word, and we managed to do it. And that's and football been in the game a long, long time, and you continuously have to be looking forward. And we've got so many connections, and we've worked with so many people that we can tap into all that. And people who trust us, you know, also are making either themselves available or their players available. If it's clubs or agents that you're talking to, they know that they're going to come to a good place, and they're going to get treated well, and they're going to become better, which is another great testament to ourselves in that way.
I think
So you've
well,
got some.
when we came in there, we always said it would be a 2 year rebuild. And I think because we did so well that, you know, the first start of the 6 months, expect it rose expectations there, get to the semi final of the cup and obviously finish second in the league. And then the major disappointment, the Airdrie game, I think we'd built up the expectations of the of us, for ourselves and the supporters that we had a good chance of going through in the playoffs. And as I say, that was just a It was a horrible, probably 2 or 3 weeks for me and John, a horrible summer. And it was great actually to get back in pre-season with the new players of the squad. And I said from day one, went to the squad, I thought that was a championship squad we'd built at the time. And the guys have proven that this season.
Well, you've just kind of took the words out of my mouth there. So obviously you've said there it's a 2 year, it was always going to be a 2 year sort of plan. How early do you guys actually have to then put your recruitment in place? So obviously we saw, as you've just said, the day that we signed Tom Lang, Brad Spencer, Calvin Miller, like how early did you actually have to put these things in motion?
Well, you're testing my memory
Probably the season before.
Exact dates, I'm struggling to give you exact dates, but Calvin was a little bit later because I did mention that at the time. I didn't really expect or anticipate to get Calvin. He was unexpected.
Yeah, Brad was saying Spencer was taking credit for that one. I saw in an interview
Right,
this week.
that was the money, that was the money gone by bringing Calvin in, but we wanted to get a left-sided you know, a left-sided winger. Everyone we had was right-sided, and we needed that balance, and so it was worth you know, taking Calvin and negotiating that deal. And we had to negotiate, you know, really well. Hamilton were playing a you know, a difficult game. So it took a few twists and turns before we managed to get it over the line that morning that we did. Yeah, we had tried to get Brad the season before, and you know, he at the second time he asked him, he was keen to come, which was great. Tom was one who we had an eye on for some time, having worked with him at Raith Rovers as well, and you can see what they brought along with a number of others. Nicky had been in Wears in the first half of the season, went back to Notts Forest. So again, when it came to looking at goalkeepers and talking with the staff and one or two of the players as well, you know, we tied up Nicky fairly quickly. And then Sam was one who was brought to us by his agent initially through Bobby Geddes. And that took a few twists and turns over the summer as well, which was a bit made more stressful holiday time. But you know, we managed to get there with him. So
Ross McIver, another one. You know, Ross, probably one John and myself both watched when he was a young boy at Motherwell. We watched him then, and we probably didn't think he was ready probably to come to Raith Rovers at that time. And we've watched him ever since. Obviously moved on to Partick Thistle, went to Alloa, and you know, we both watched him very early in the previous season, and we kept an eye on him all through that season with Alan Fraser. And we decided to go, you know, to go and bring him in. So it's recruitment's ongoing all the time. You know, it's not a, we don't say it's a spell of 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's the full year that we're always looking at players and looking at recruitment.
Yeah. It's not just been about recruitment, though. I mean, I think, you know, that spine of the side that you've created, when you mentioned Tom, you mentioned Brad, you mentioned Ross, that spine of the side, you know, it's been incredible. It's been the players that also from the previous season. And, you know, I'm talking about people like obviously Leon McCann, Aidan Nesbitt. We've saw what Callum Morrison, I mean, he's has done this season in a very good side, because he's played in some terrible sides and he's done well. But you know, you look at someone like Cole Donaldson, you know, who this season, I just, as a supporter, I just looks like he's come on leaps and bounds. And I don't know whether you guys put that down to the captain's armband going on for him for a big part of the season, or if that's been playing alongside someone like Tom.
I think they struck a very good partnership, absolutely. And I think, yeah, I think a big part of it was playing beside Tom. Tom's very aggressive, very committed, and that can rub off, you know. And I think there's a number of things have rubbed off, and you can learn from each other and take inspiration from each other. And Cole has been, he's looked, you know, a Rolls Royce at times this season. So composed on the ball, aggressive in the air. Got yourself a couple of cracking goals as well. A good header recently, also. So yeah, no, he improved a lot, a hell of a lot this year. And you're right with regards to Callum, he's kicked on the first part of the season. Yeah, and then obviously January came along, and there was transfer activity there. But thankfully he stayed, and thankfully he signed a new contract. And from then he's kicked on. And Calvin at times has just been unplayable. We also brought in Alfie, who had been flying at the beginning of the season, probably then found himself in a difficult position where Callum was just so good that they're very difficult for Alfie to get in. And we're bringing Ethan Ross as well. Around about August, September, he came in, and again vying for positions with Calvin. So we've been very, very good, and very, you know, you could say fortunate, but we've actually by design managed to bring these players in, and they're all been competing enormously well. When you mentioned Aidan Nesbitt again, who's had a great season, kicked on, and the other Gary's, Oliver's been thereabouts, had a good start to the season, got an injury, found himself out the team, and again the team's winning, very difficult, but coming on in games, getting his starting games here and there, and getting goals for us, important goals. So yeah, the recruitment is, but then we've got a way of playing, and all the guys know the way we play. They buy into it, and it's attractive. It's attractive. People want to come and they want to play for you. Once we got to January, bringing Dylan in has been another good sign-in, who's kicked on and has been scored an amazing goal out here recently, and has pulled the strings very much with Brad in the middle of the midfield. Hendo is unfortunately, he done his hamstring at the weekend, but he's chipped in with a few goals, played a big part in the team. So, you know, it's been a very much a team effort, the whole thing to manage to work so well.
I think just on that as well, Stephen McGinn's been absolutely fantastic for John and myself. He's gelled all that squad in the changing room, and I know he's helped Cole. You know, being the captain, he speaks to Cole every day and helps Cole in that. And he's been massive for us in the changing room. He runs our changing room really well for us, and it's been like an extra coach for us in there.
You certainly heard and felt that at the recent recognition night, Paul. The love and the sort of camaraderie that they've all got for Stephen. And I agree with John. I think that's definitely seems to have rubbed off on Big Call this year. And as you said, he's scored a couple of absolute belting goals, and he's sort of led the defence there. Obviously, we're missing the pair of them and Hendo now for the last game. Is that giving you a wee bit of a headache for the weekend coming?
A big headache.
Let's put the boots back on, Paul.
John and I know how to play at centre half if you're ever looking for
I'm 6 foot two, John. I'm here. I'm available.
Yeah, I mean, My interview on Saturday was more frustrated because I knew what was coming with regards to I was picking a team for next Saturday when I was doing the interview, and head was all over the place, to be fair. But that's what you do as a manager. You've already started thinking about next week. I might have been thinking about next week while Liam Henderson's, walking off the pitch. Because, we were then got no height in the team, as I said in the interview, we got very little height, and it's huge, it's huge in that game where they just had to stick the ball in the box. There was a good chance that the big boy Goss was going to go and win a header and the ball land in the box, and all of a sudden there's a penalty, at both sort of situations, just because he goes up and it's difficult. So, there may well be situations that crop up like that this weekend as well. Yeah, so it is a major problem. Thankfully, I'd rather it came now rather than midway through the season. Still, there's a lot to play for. It was a huge game for us going into game 36. With everything to play for with regards to this unbeaten record and wanting to keep a hold of this. It's certainly causing us a few sleepless nights.
Was there a moment this season, guys? I mean, for me as a supporter, there was a moment for me where I thought, we're going to do this season. There's no, this is it. We're getting out of this league. For me, it was when Brad Spencer, in the last couple of minutes against Queen of the South, just absolutely smashed one in. Has there been a moment, maybe off the park or maybe obviously on the park, that you've went, right, this is the team. This is going to squish the league this season?
I think it was always confident right from the very start, but you're never sure where it's going to go. I think for myself, probably the Hamilton game where we went to Hamilton 1-3-1. That was a big turning point from there. And then probably the third Hamilton game when we're going in probably maybe 8 points ahead. If we'd maybe lost that one, it was going to drop down to 5 points. But we went on a good spell there. We had a midweek game and we ended up, 14 points ahead and gave ourselves a good cushion at that time as well. But as I say, probably for myself, probably the Hamilton game winning 3-1. I know the season before previously, we never beat Dunfermline, so it was great to beat the team that were second top at the time.
We'll get Dunfermline back next year. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. In terms of Hamilton, obviously we mentioned there the big win there, and it was such a huge day for everyone in the stadium. I totally agree, Paul. You felt it, didn't you? At the end, going into January, obviously you mentioned about rumours about Callum and with the contract situation and interest, sort of externally. Were you always confident that he would sign back on though? Was that the general feeling that you were getting from him personally?
No.
No.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to read, actually. Quite difficult to read. You're not always talking directly with the player. It's quite often things are done through the agents when it gets to that, because you don't want the player getting involved in anything really. Yeah, it's going to kind of, well, I'm going to say play with his head, but there's obviously the other outside. As soon as you get to the January, regarding the way you can go about it, you can obviously, any team can approach someone when they get to the last 6 months of their contract. So anyone can actually go and talk to Callum or anyone else in that situation. So, but we were dealing with the agent, and it was up in the air, and not at times I thought we would lose him. You were kind of hoping that we would maybe be able to keep him to the end of the season. Even if he was to sign a pre-contract with someone else, he would hopefully finish the season and then go with our blessing. So for it to have turned around was very welcomed. It was came from out the blue, so to speak. But delighted that we managed to get back around the table and get the deal done. And he's kicked on so well. He's playing with, such a freedom. He's very, very comfortable here. He's very happy here. And we hope to, we'll be here for the duration of the new contract that he signed.
I think as supporters we were actually shocked because we all thought Callum's, he's done a great service for the club. You wouldn't begrudge him going on and moving on and looking for a Motherwell or a St. John, you know, one of the Premiership clubs. So it was unbelievable that he signed. And I mean, it's just as well during the January transfer window that you were able to hold on to him, Calvin Miller and Alfredo Aguiman, with Hamilton floating about them as well, boys. So I was a delight with that as a supporter. One bit of business he did do on January was bringing in Dylan Tate from Hamilton. You guys had previously worked with Dylan and knew what qualities he would bring. But how did that deal come around?
That's a tricky one, that one.
There's a story here, though, John. I can feel there's a story here.
Yeah. But
it's not right, not for broadcast, though.
It's not for broadcast.
No. That's better left alone, that one.
No problem. Well, what are the chances?
As you say, we worked with Dylan as a 16-year-old boy at Dunfermline. Leith Rovers. We gave him his debut. He got his move to Hibs. And we've always kept in contact with Dylan. You know, from his time at Kilmarnock, our growth and loan from there as well. So I found it really surprising at that time he wasn't playing with Hamilton. And we were just absolutely delighted to go and get him signed in January.
No, it was great. And obviously, fingers crossed, these Hibs will maybe think about putting him on a loan for us next season as well. That would be a delight. We talked about it, we touched it at the start about, you know, this potential invincible season that we're on the precipice of. How big an achievement in football, and I guess in your careers, would that be?
Well, the biggest, absolute biggest, because it's not done very often. You know, it's special teams that do that regardless.
I believe only three times it's been done in Scotland. Rangers and Celtic, I think, have both done it twice, and Kilmarnock did it once during an 18-game season, I believe.
Right. Yeah, so amazing. We very, very few football clubs managing to do it. So, yeah, that's why it's so special, and why every team has been trying to beat us as well. You know, they've been very motivated. Most teams are very motivated to beat us. I thought the referee was quite motivated on Saturday as well. we have to rise to these challenges. Yeah, it would be extremely special, really, really special. You know, I think the players would be remembered forever, ever in the Falkirk Football Club's history to do that. And we are so close to it now. And it's, as I say, just to your question prior to that, now without any of our recognised like centre-backs makes it a lot more difficult.
I know, especially when if you've got a big lump like Conor Salmon going up there on Saturday as well. We know what Conor does, having played with the club before as well.
Yeah.
John, Paul, see, in terms of Saturday then, so obviously the whole Invincibles thing, we're so close, just as John said it as well. If we do it, you've just mentioned, so obviously there, I think you've said it before, there might be dinners in the next sort of 10, 15, 20 years' time where there'll be reunions, talked about it and stuff. This is massive, isn't it? Are the players feeling it as well? Are they, like, is everybody on the edge of just sort of, this has to, we have to do this on Saturday almost?
Yeah, I think if you look at us and you look at Dundee United another night there against Airdrie, you see a difference, you know, because Dundee United won the league and the Airdrie game didn't matter an awful lot to them. Mm. And they obviously had been celebrating also, so fair play to them. Everyone would do that. But you see how our guys have had to continuously put the foot to the floor and play well. Mm. You know, we come out and score 7 that night. Then we went and scored 5 against Cove. You know, so fair play to our players. You know, we have still had the motivation to go and deliver. Chesterfield won their league, the National League, I think it was, the week before we won ours. They lost their next 4 games. You know, so it's difficult to keep them at it all the time. But we, the guys, because this invincible thing is there, that we really, really wanted it so much, the guys have kept the performance level up, even though we could go examples there of Dundee United, you know, maybe not quite at it. I mentioned Chesterfield, they lost their next 4 games out of 5. And, you know, our level has been right up there. It's never really dropped at all. Mm. Yeah, we got points at the weekend, but you couldn't really put it into the performance level. You know, we should have been out of sight. And so, yeah, the guys are very, very, very much up for it. You know, I mean, I think we might have been getting through the first quarter of the season, and we kind of said, can we get to Christmas? Can we get to the halfway stage unbeaten? Mm.
Mm.
You know, when you get there and you realise what you've done, you say, this is doable. You know, we could do this. You know, within the dressing room, we're never going to come out in the public eye and say these things. But within the dressing room, we can then set these kind of targets. And lo and behold, here we are, 35 games done, one to go, and we're still on track. And so, yeah, in adversity and everything else, it's up to everyone to, on Saturday to put their best foot forward and make sure that we can deliver this.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the last two games have been so tough, you know, as a supporter watching it. See when Michael Tidzer, you know, when we're fighting in that Annan game and Michael Tidzer stood up at the end of that match, I just thought, oh no, because he's obviously an ex-Falkirk player. Oh God. But it was an unbelievable performance against Annan. And like you say, at the weekend, a really battling performance to get a point down there as well. But yeah, so Aloha next, we're on the precipice. I just want to come back. I know, John, you and Paul, you both talk about it a lot and you have done throughout the season, is the importance of the ultras. It just seems to have been up this perfect storm this season of the team on the park together, the supporters off the park together, and the ultras have just, it seems like they've just, you know, even against you know, when you saw, I think Sam had a mistake against Dundee United and they're singing his name. We spoke to Keith and Gordon about that the other night there. You know, the will to win, when we played Kelty as well, it was, you know, you just heard. In fact, the main stand were even singing that day, for God's sake. This is what you've done to the club, boys. But, you know, how important have those boys behind the goal been?
The young team have been absolutely fantastic, and as you say, you can go through so many games. We touched on the Hamilton away game, Annan, sorry, 2 weeks ago, the Kelty down to 10 men. You know, that really kept the players going that day. And as you say, they've got the main stand up singing as well, which is absolutely fantastic. No, they've been great. It's the next generation of the football club coming through as well, because obviously it's a young team, so it's great that there's a new generation, and they're going to see, which we don't see very often, is obviously see the team pick up a trophy on Saturday.
And I think Saturday's just everything building up towards Saturday's fantastic. Obviously, I know you guys will be chilling on Friday night. We've got our end of season party at Behind the Wall, which we're very grateful. We've got Col and Tom coming along to on Friday night. Hopefully you knew about that and have given permission. Yeah, we've got the boys coming along, but then Saturday's just going to take care of itself. As you said, John, earlier on, 7,500 Falkirk fans in the ground. There's a display happening in the Kevin McAllister stand. It sounds like there'll be more Falkirk fans in the away stand on Saturday than there has been away fans in there all season. So it's just all building up, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, we can't wait. There's obviously around the ground, there's a lot of things going on. We still, as you mentioned earlier, the Heritage Strip, the sponsors of that were in this morning getting their particular player they're sponsored. And you will know that Chris McGill sponsored Stephen McGinn,
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Quite frightening that connection, actually. McGill and McGinn, you know, it kind of almost rhymes, you know. So, yeah.
We have to apologize, John, for creating a celebrity out of Chris McGill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The guy's posted every blinking day. Taking over. Taking over.
New nickname, big time.
Big time.
Right, well, one thing, right, so this is what you two have got to promise me, right? We've talked about the ultras, right? If we go invincible on Saturday, I want you two, I want Wagon Wheel on the PA, and I want to see that dance in front of the Ken McAllister stand come Saturday, boys.
Yeah, well, we normally get sort of introduced into it by Hendo, and Hendo's now done his hamstring. His calves are dodgy. Oh, he's our lead. You know, he's our lead in. He's our dancer. So we need to try and think of
John's a
something else.
backing dancer there.
Have you seen that one thing that's gone about today?
We have, it's brilliant. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I need to practice that one. I need to practice
That's what I want to see you coming out and that leading everyone, John. It'd be absolutely brilliant. Well,
You
listen.
get me a stage like that going down there.
I need a table to dance on.
Well, listen, we'll do it come half past five on Saturday when we've hopefully, and I'm touching wood, I'm whispering, I'm doing everything to say that we will be invincible. But listen, gents, I mean, well done again on the manager year nomination, John. Well done to the pair of you in getting the team to where we are. You know, as I said at the start, we've just got to thank, you know, on behalf of the Falkirk Daft Whistles and behalf of the Falkirk support, thank you for, you know, for what you've done this season, and Championship, here we come.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank every fan for all the support and all the merchandise I've bought, strips and hospitality and everything. If you can possibly add anything to the season ticket money to help the manager's, you know, kitty, so to speak, then anything would help us, anything at all. If you can go and buy your season ticket early as well, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah. It's all about the budgets, and John and Paul probably
did we mention the budget?
Oh, that's it. There you go.
What's it? You mentioned it first.
Should have mentioned it. Aye. Because if you can help out, I'm sure John and Paul have got a couple of other diamonds up their sleeve ready for the Championship next season as well. And we'll look forward to seeing that team on the park, because as you guys said, that's a Championship team. And, you know, baby steps. I know you said it's all about the big plan, but I really think that team, you know, it's been a special team, and I really think we can do something next season. But John, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
Thank you.
Thanks to you two guys. And again, just reiterating what John says, thanks to all the supporters, and look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Fantastic. Aye, we'll be come up dancing with you, John.
I'll need help.
This is Falkirk Daft.